Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Discourse on the Origin and the Foundations of Inequality Among Men. Translated by Ian Johnston. Read by Neville Jason. Translator's note. In the following text, there are two sorts of notes. Those provided by Rousseau, which are placed at the end of the main text, and those provided by the translator, which appear as footnotes. Rousseau himself recommends that the reader ignores his notes until after completing the entire text. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, 1712 to 1778, wrote his Discourse on Inequality, also called the Second Discourse, as an entry in a competition organized by the Academy of Dijon in 1754. He had won first prize in a previous competition in 1750 with his Discourse on the Sciences and the Arts, the First Discourse, a victory which had helped to make him famous. The Second Discourse did not fare so well in the contest. The Second Discourse was published in 1755. When the Second Discourse was published again in 1782, Rousseau inserted a few short minor additions into the text. These are included here, but are not indicated. End of note. We ought to think about what is natural not in things which are corrupt, but in things which are well ordered by nature. Aristotle, Politics, 1:5. To the Republic of Geneva, magnificent, most honoured, and sovereign lords. Convinced that only the virtuous citizen may give his native land honours which it can acknowledge, I have been working for 30 years to become worthy of offering you public homage, and since this happy occasion makes up in part for what my efforts have not been able to accomplish, I believe that I would be permitted here to follow the zeal which inspires me, rather than the right which ought to act as my authorization. Having had the good fortune to be born among you, how could I reflect on the equality which nature has established among men, and on the inequality which they have instituted, without thinking about the profound wisdom with which both of these, happily combined in this state, work together in a manner most closely approaching natural law and most favourable to society for maintaining public order and the happiness of individuals. As I was investigating the best principles which good sense could set down concerning the constitution of a government, I was so struck by seeing them all at work in yours that even if I had not been born within your walls, I do not think I would have been able to forego offering this picture of human society to those who, among all peoples, seem to me to possess its greatest advantages and to have best avoided its abuses. If I had had to choose the place where I was born, I would have selected a society whose size was limited by the extent of human capabilities, that is to say, by the possibility of being well governed, and where each man was competent in his job, so that no one would be compelled to delegate to others the functions to which he was assigned. A state where, because all the individuals knew each other, neither the obscure manoeuvres of vice nor the modesty of virtue would be able to escape the view and judgment of the public, and where this sweet habit of seeing and knowing each other made the love of one's native land the love of the citizens rather than the love of the land. I would have wanted to be born in a country where the sovereign and the people could have only one and the same interest, so that all the movements of the machine would never tend to do anything except for the common happiness. Since that would not be possible unless the people and the sovereign were the same person, it follows that I would have wished to be born under a democratic government wisely tempered. I would have wanted to live and die free.